This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Red Circle, as well as the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Make sure you hit like, subscribe, and turn the notifications on, particularly if you're a Dolphin fan. We had a lot of content on them over the weekend, for better or worse. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our new Discord, $2.99 per month. The link is right here in the description, on the podcast feed, on the YouTube channel, and also pinned to the top of the Five Reasons Twitter page. Also, check out BetterEdge.com. That's code 5RSN. You get $20 to play at BetterEdge. This is a stock exchange for sports betting. It is legal in South Florida and 43 other states because you're betting against others who use it. You're not betting against the bookie or the app itself. It also means you get to withdraw your money right away. You don't have to wait. There's no rollover with the 5RSN code. You get the $20 to play right away. And our NFL tournaments are just $10 a week. Our NBA tournaments are just $3 a day. So you can enter them at any time. It's a great bargain. And now, today's episode. Down to Biscay. Yay. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buck the say, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor plan, got them all banned. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. I got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. We will get back to the current team in 2024, which, as we're recording this, is just about 7 hours away. And we'll get into what's going on in this road trip. Of course, the Heat are going to Los Angeles. They're there already, actually. They're going to be playing the Clippers and the Lakers after a disappointing loss in Utah. We did a recap episode, myself, Alex, and Brady. So make sure that you check that out, too. But we're going to go back in time a little bit. Announcement over the weekend, or over this weekend to the weekend, from Goran Dragic that he is retiring. And I'm a little surprised, Greg. Not real surprised, because there just wasn't much buzz around it. I covered Goran for a few years. I have access to him by text, etc. You know, hasn't changed the phone number, and we've communicated over the years, even since he's left Miami. I hadn't heard from him recently. We've talked about getting him on the podcast, talk about the possibility of coming to play for the Heat. I never heard anything back. There really wasn't any buzz about him joining any teams, and my understanding was that he really only wanted to play in the NBA again if it was going to be for the Heat. That uprooting, I know his kids are still down here in South Florida, and uprooting everybody again to go play for some other franchise when, you know, his experiences in Brooklyn, Chicago, and Milwaukee, I don't think were all that great for him. He was kind of looking to replicate what happened in Miami. He wasn't able to. And when I talked to him when he was here with the Bulls last year, and I've mentioned this many times, he thought he could play two or three more years, like 15 to 20 minutes a night. His body felt good. He felt he could still play at an NBA level. But if he wasn't going to play for the team that he really wanted to play for and the city he really wanted to be in, I didn't necessarily know that he was going to go to OKC or, you know, to, you know, some other team that may be looking for just a third point guard who's probably not even going to play much during the playoffs at that stage. And so, you know, with the Heat, they didn't seem to have a ton of interest. We've talked about it. And then, you know, they went with Drew Smith. They went with RJ Hampton. Drew Smith got hurt. His contract was guaranteed. I feel like that kind of took away some of their flexibility at that stage once that happened, because they maybe could have walked away from Drew and brought in Goran at a certain point when, you know, the second apron concerns were kind of out of the way. Drew's contract gets guaranteed. Again, that seemed to be off the table. So I guess when you put all that into context, Greg, it's not that surprising. And he gets to do it on his own terms. He's going to, you know, play one final exhibition game in Slovenia, his home country, where he's beloved, where he led them to a world championship. I just want to get your initial thoughts when you heard, before we put into context where he fits in Heat lore, I just want to, your thoughts as he retires.
It wasn't surprising only because of the fact of, you mentioned lack of buzz. I also just knew that the interest level throughout the league, it's gotten cold out there for the veterans. And that's just something that the way that the league is, and Goran kind of got lumped into that, even though I think he can help contenders. Mike Miller on his OG podcast with UD said the most underrated thing in the league right now is having veterans in your locker room, real hardcore playoff tested veterans. Goran is that. And so I thought maybe he could catch on somewhere, but when Miami has Drew Smith go down and RJ Hampton is in and out, Lowry is in and out now, and Goran still doesn't get the call, financial stuff aside, I knew that it was probably the end of the road. And and we're going to talk about where he fits, etc., and I'm going to wait to wax poetic to when we get there, but I'll just say I was less surprised that it happened. Although I would say this, I'm surprised he didn't wait the season out and see if somebody got injured, because like we talk about the Heat going to all these other guys. I mean, if Kyle Lowry were to, knock on wood, get hurt for some reason, what would you do for 6 weeks? You know what I mean? Like, so it surprises me a little that he comes out with the announcement, but I think that part of that is him wanting to go out on his own terms and not be kind of pushed out. He's saying, I'm done.
He's been with four franchises since he was last with the Heat.
Yeah,
because don't want to talk about Toronto because he's not real popular up in Canada, since he never wanted that trade to happen. And we know he only played five games there. He only played, just to go through it here a little bit, early in his career, obviously, was Phoenix, right? He played 88 games in Houston with Kyle Lowry, by the way, for a lot of those. Here's his game totals overall. He played more games for the Heat than any other team, which actually – I think people in Phoenix would be surprised by that. 391 for Miami, 388 for Phoenix, 88 for Houston, 51 in kind of an okay stint in Chicago. Again, that was after his Heat days. 16 in Brooklyn, 7 in Milwaukee, 5 in Toronto. So if you add up the Chicago, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Toronto stints after Miami, he played a total of 79 games.
Yeah.
You know, so he's never really a Heat. Right, exactly. And with a little bit of Houston thrown in, but really he's Phoenix or Miami. And I think that's how he's going to remember himself. And remember, the way he left Phoenix was not good. Although it wasn't because of the fans. It was he didn't have a good relationship with Ryan McDonough, the general manager, by the end of it. And a lot of critical things said. And Goran tried to bite his tongue. One of the things I always appreciated about Goran, though, is that biting his tongue, words would still be said. He was... I always remember there's so many of these instances, but it's a little bit different. It's a little different for European players. They're more open, I think. They don't come out of that culture where they're coached to not say anything about anything. And so with Goran, I was always especially careful. And I'll tell you, I had a very good relationship with Goran when he played, but most media did. Like, I wasn't alone. Like, it wasn't Goran wasn't one of those guys that was like, okay, this reporter is his guy. There are certain players like that. There are certain ones that I felt that, you know, would go to me first when there was information that maybe trusted me most. There were others who maybe trusted others who've been around the Heat for a long time or a national person. Goran had good relationships pretty much with all reporters. He was open. He was the type of person that prior to a game, when you used to actually be able to find players in the locker room before a game, before they all started hiding in the training room, that you could basically shoot the bleep with Goran for 30 minutes. And I often did that, just about everything. And I was always protecting him, honestly. Like, he would just tell me things that we were just, you know, we were comfortable. So he would tell me things on background, and I'd be like, do I really want to get him in trouble for this? No. You know, because he would tell it how it was. Like, he wasn't nicest guy in the world, but he had opinions about how things should be done. And I think one of his frustrations when he left Miami was that things were not done in other places. We've talked about that before, but they were not done in other places like they were done in Miami. And so, you know, the one that is kind of funny is, remember when he went up, he had his Zoom call. He had a Zoom call because we were doing all Zoom calls during COVID. So during the bubble, the Heat would like make two or three players available per day by Zoom. So we would jump on the Zooms, and it hadn't been widely reported who had stayed back because they tested positive for COVID. But yeah, we knew at the network that it was Bam and Nunn, right? And then Goran just blurted out that, what was it, that Bam, when Kendrick and Bam get here. Yeah. And it was like, oh, Goran's going to get in trouble for that. But he was tenured enough at that stage that he could get away from it. He wouldn't get in trouble. But he, most players would. And it was just, he was just himself in all of those ways. And I think before we get into his context of where he fits overall in Heat lore, I mean, again, I have great memories of covering him. Family Fest, I have, you know, pictures of him with my daughter at various stages. And it's just, you know, he was a regular guy. Like, I'm not talking about he's dead. I'm talking about when he was playing, like when he would go, you know, one of the things he liked about Miami, he would put a hat on when he'd go to the park to take his kids to the park, because he didn't really want anybody to recognize him, because he just wanted to sort of blend in, like just regular dad, you know, with his young kids at the park in Miami. And he grew to love Miami, honestly. I mean, we talk about certain players who embrace the city and the culture and all that stuff. Goran is near the top of that.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that, again, as we put into context here, he did not have easy circumstances with the Heat for a variety of reasons. First, he's acquired for the couple of first round picks, right? Our guy Norris Cole actually went out in that trade.
He was the best asset in the league. Don't forget.
That's exactly right. And he went out for a couple of first round picks, and he joins a team. He's supposed to be playing with Chris Bosh, and all we talked about was pick and pop, pick and pop, pick and pop. What's that going to look like? He did it with Channing Frye. What's that going to look like with Chris Bosh, right? The very day that Dragic was acquired was the day that Bosh was in the hospital.
Yeah.
For the first time for blood clots. It's just like right after, you know, Pat acquired, you know, all those players to play with Zoe, and Zoe failed the physical. It's like these kind of things happen to the Heat organization. So we got to see Goran with Bosh, but not ever in full flower. And by the time that they did start to play together, like, we were like, where is the pick and pop? It's like they hadn't worked on it. It was kind of weird. And then, of course, when Goran started to kind of get his sea legs playing with the Heat and figuring out how to play with Dwayne, which was one of the hard things he had to do, and I'll get into that in a second, then Bosh went out again. And yeah, so we never got to see a team that, I believe, if they had actually had their starting lineup of Whiteside, Bosh, Joe Johnson, or Luol Deng.
He played great with Luol Deng.
He played great with all. Oh, well, they were very close. Remember, like they became like fast friends. Him and Luol. Great relationship with Luol. Great relationship with Jimmy, obviously, later on. Like, hard to find a player who played with Goran who didn't like Goran, just personally. And I think when you look at that team, you're like, if you had that lineup and then Dwayne and Goran in the backcourt with a rookie Josh Richardson, Justice Winslow, who contributed, that team probably could have beaten Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals and might have gone to the finals that year. So you had that. Then he finally adjusts to playing with Dwayne. Like, for a while, he would stand in the corner, like, and let Dwayne take over. And I remember right after they first came, Dwayne had never really played with a guard like him. Like, he played with Rio. Rio did not need the ball in his hands. Goran did, so it was very different. And I did like a stand-up interview with the two of them together, and wrote a story on it. Spent 15 to 20 minutes with both of them about how this was going to work. And you could tell, like, Goran was so deferential to Dwayne.
Oh, for sure.
that it almost hurt the team, I think, times.
Agreed.
he did not want to step on Dwayne's toes at all. And I think Dwayne loves him personally, but Dwayne was still trying to be Dwayne. And Goran was like, okay, be Dwayne. And I think at times, I think it was better with Jimmy. And they got into a better rhythm there.
You're right.
But with Dwayne, at times it was tough. It's arguably as talented a backcourt as they've ever had. But it was not perfect, and it took some time for Goran to develop. And it really wasn't until Dwayne left and Goran had that run with Dion in the 16-17 season, the 7-11, backcourt, that was like, okay, this Goran is carrying with this team. And then he has that great final act with the Heat, which should have been better, which was the bubble. And, he was their leading scorer for most of the bubble. You could argue whether he was their second or third best player, but he was certainly in the top three. A lot of talk about Tyler. Tyler was great as a rookie, but it was Goran was the guy.
Agree.
And he got hurt, and he tried to play through it. And that Zoom call that he had with us, where he kind of knew it was over, was one of the hardest interviews I think I've seen a player do with the Heat, because he put everything into it. I think he knew it was his last real chance to win. He'd been through all that. And then you get to the end of it, and he pushed himself out there on the floor at the end, and he couldn't play, and he wasn't the same. Yeah. He goes out the way UD went out. In a lot of ways, UD played for years after it, but both of those guys pushed themselves to play in a playoff series. And I think it affected them. When you look at this, and then again, on the other side of the break, Greg, we'll get into, where he kind of fits overall. I mean, which is the Goran that you think of the most with the Heat? Is it that team with Dwayne that was really uber talented? Was it the 7-11, 30-11 run, or was it the bubble run?
Bubble run. Because it was the one that cemented it for me, where I started to tweet things like Goran Dragic is the best point guard in Miami Heat history. And for me to say that over Timmy Hardaway after my head coach screamed at me for 4 years in high school, "You're not Timmy Hardaway. Stop trying to dribble like him." I patterned everything I could possibly do on the basketball court after Timmy. For me to say Goran Dragic is a better overall, had a better overall run as a Miami Heat player is crazy, but I stand by that. And I think that Timmy had a better one season, but as far as a career in Miami, I would take Goran's. And so the bubble run is what cemented that. I think he was up to like 25-4 in the Eastern Conference Finals that led them to the finals. So when people talk about him being the fourth best player in that series, are you kidding? So he was an instrumental part of that. And so that's the run, and that's the Goran, Jimmy, Tyler, Duncan team that to me, like, I can't associate him with those earlier groups as much, because one, some of them weren't that good, and because we never got to see the Bosch combo, it's making me pivot to 2020.
It's funny because you got Josh Richardson back on the team now, and I'm not with the team on this road trip, but when Josh gets back, I want to talk to him about this. Like, Goran took a lot of those guys under his wing too. Josh was kind of Goran's rookie, because Josh, they were trying to train Josh to play point guard when it wasn't his position. We still see them doing that even now that Josh is age 30. Goran was just very, very giving with his time to a lot of these guys, younger guys that came in, and he tried to be polite to the ones who frustrated him. Many conversations with Goran about why Hassan Whiteside could not set a proper screen. He didn't want to make a big deal of it, but he's like, he sets it at this angle. Well, it's because he didn't really want to set it, honestly. Let's be honest. Okay, but like, but Goran tried to be polite about that in his own way, where the words didn't always come out exactly as he wanted to come out. Was always an experience. And he tried to make the best of it. He tried to connect with Whiteside. One of the funniest things about Goran was he was the worst lob thrower at the point guard position that I'd seen for his first couple of years. And he became a great lob thrower later on in his Heat career, especially the BAM.
I asked him about that early on in his Heat career. And another thing is, like, for a guy who only pops in on the road four times a year, let's say, he was always so gracious and answered all my questions. And he said straight up, like, he learned to make his best passes as bounce passes. Like that was drilled into him at one point. And so he's a great bounce passer, but Hassan didn't catch passes in traffic. He caught him up. And, you know, Alonzo used to always point up, up, up. And so like, that is something that I think he started to develop more as Bam ascended, as weird as that was, because I wish he could have maybe done it sooner to help Hassan in any way that he could have. But it's interesting that that connection never really hit the way that we expected, point guard and center. And it had a lot to do with bounce passes versus lobs.
Yeah, I mean, Warren was a different kind of player in the sense, too, that, you know, a point guard, we talk about the Heat not having a point guard, but not a traditional point guard. I mean, he was a point guard who never had high assist numbers. It was more about kind of creating angles. He was great at creating angles and a terrific finisher. Like you talk about a guy who could finish in traffic consistently, was in the 70s at the rim. I mean, so you look at career. I mean, he's clearly a Heat player. It's funny. With Phoenix, his last year in Phoenix, he was third team All-NBA. He never reached that level with the Heat, although he did make one All-Star team. And, of course, he had that incredible game with Phoenix in the playoffs once. I believe it was against San Antonio where he went nuts in the fourth quarter, which was kind of his arrival. But he actually averaged more points in Miami than he did in Phoenix. 16.2, 5.2 assists. In Phoenix, it was 12.3 points and 4.5 assists. More minutes in Miami, 31 as opposed to 26. But almost the same stats actually otherwise. 46% from the field, 47 in Phoenix, 37% from three, 36 in Phoenix. 79% from the line, 74 in Phoenix. So, I mean, this is one of those cases where the Heat got what they bargained for. When they made the trade of two first round picks, they got what they were expecting to get. And I think the connection with the fans, though, is the thing that's really struck us. So I want to get to that on the other side of this. Before we do, I want to mention a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, our friends over at Water Cleanup. Find them at watercleanupofflorida.com. Excuse me, WCUFL.com. WCUFL.com. Michael Robert and his team, they can take care of you. Got mold damage, water damage, any of that stuff. But even beforehand, they can get you in the preventative program. We know that the insurance companies don't always take care of everything. So go to WCUFL.com. Michael Robert, their whole team, they're based in Boca Raton, but they service the entire Tri-County area. And if they can't get something done for you, they will tell you. They are honest contractors. Trust me, I've had a lot of people come to me to praise them for that. They've got more than 70 five-star reviews on Google as a result. So check them out, Water Cleanup of Florida, WCUFL.com. If you've got the schmutz,
they got the guts.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products. And that's why I use Harry's shaving products. I love the weighted handle. I love the way it looks. And I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard. So better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German engineered blades made in their own factory. So they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. Harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, so now we get to, in the last few minutes here, we get to the more complicated conversation. Because I do think that Goran Dragic will be associated with the Miami Heat. I think he wants to be associated with the Miami Heat. Seems like he's going to be living in Miami when he's not in Slovenia. And I think for a lot of franchises, you look at the connection that he had with the fan base. And then you also you take into account that the Heat are retiring someone's jersey in Udonis Haslem, who does not have, you know, elite career statistics. And you might say, okay, Goran Dragic should get that number retired. You know, that number 7. And I've made that argument in the past. Mm-hmm. The question becomes, when you become this kind of organization, right? You're a Celtics organization, you're a Lakers organization, you're a Spurs organization, then you're being compared again in some ways against others who are up there already, right? And I think this is where it gets complicated a little bit for Goran, because to me, okay, UD gets the community,
the culture pass,
culture, fan base. You and I both agreed with him being his number being retired.
Yeah,
it's a no-brainer. People outside Miami can't understand it, but they don't. They just don't get it, right?
It's stupid though.
Exactly. Okay. But then, okay, you've got that one taken care of, right?
Yeah, but you can't get a bunch more.
Right. So what do you do here? Because this isn't about Kyle Lowry wearing his number. Obviously, Kyle's number is not going to be retired in Miami. You know, at some point, Kyle will move on. Right. So do you think Goran's number gets retired?
No, I don't. But I think it should. Well, this is where I stand. If Timmy's number is retired, why is Goran's number not retired when Goran had a better career, Miami Heat career? Timmy got as far as game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Goran got all the way to the finals, and he averaged incredible stuff. I know Timmy had a great game 7 in that run against New York, but in the games against Chicago, they made short order of Miami. So he didn't really make it that much further. So to me, I just feel like if you're going to have Timmy up there, Goran deserves it. But the reason why Timmy's up there is because Timmy's a Hall of Famer. And I think that part of it, Goran's not going to get in. And so, like, you're not going to be able to be like, that's a Hall of Famer up in the rafters. And so I think that they're going to ultimately stay away from it the similar way that they did with Glenn Rice. And I'll also tell you this, there'd be no way in hell Kyle Lowry would have number 7 on if they were planning on ever retiring Goran's number.
Yeah, I think it's a fair way to look at it.
Who wears number 6? Has anyone even tried?
No, it was before LeBron, right? It was Eddie Jones.
EJ.
It was Mario Chalmers. But once he wore it, I'll say this, and I guess some of this, let's not get into the whole Marino and Jordan being up in the rafters, because we both know that that shouldn't be the case and doesn't really have anything to do with this, but I know that there'll be some comments related to that, because there always are. I think it's debatable to say that he had a better career than Timmy. I think that, look, first thing, Timmy took a while to get in the Hall of Fame because of the other factors, and also because of the injuries that he dealt with that curtailed what was a clear Hall of Fame path in Golden State, probably ahead of even Richmond. Richmond took some time, and Mullen. And then he went to Miami, and I think the difference is this. Miami, for whatever they did in the playoffs on those Timmy teams, which was not enough, obviously. They lost 3 out of 4 series to the Knicks in the deciding game. They were a number one, number two seed type team for basically 4 years, right? And And Tim was one of their two best players. Like, there was no question about that. Like, you and I have had this conversation. Like, there were times that Tim was more important than Zoe.
100%. And also okay. the go-to guy. And also, just to close the loop on Tim Hardaway in all those years, he was, like, we talk about peak Tim Hardaway years in terms of impacting winning. Those were those years. 96, 97 in particular was just unbelievable. So to me, that I do understand. And also the reason why they flamed out early against the Knicks was not because of Tim Hardaway.
No, he was never the reason, actually. Like, it's funny, like, when you look back at Tim's career, and it didn't end particularly well, and he was unhappy with Pat about the, you know, the weight clauses and the assist to turnover clauses and all kinds of other things. But yeah, Tim was never blamed for what happened against the Knicks. Mash was blamed. At times, Zoe was blamed because Ewing would get off and some of those role players. But Tim always escaped all of that stuff because it just was the assumption that he was the big game player and he made so many of those plays. I think it's a difficult argument, and we can't really have it on our Twitter feed because our audience is so young on who had the more impactful Miami Heat career. I would lean to Tim still. And I think even when you and I were discussing this during the bubble, I still think it's Tim. I mean, again, you're talking about a team. If Jordan wasn't in the way and they kept tripping over the Knicks. Like, those Tim Zoe teams were, I mean, that was consistent contention year after year, and it was them. It was the two of them. Like, we could talk about Mash and Vachon and Marley and Terry Porter for 1 year or Crotty for one, or any of the other guys that they plugged in there, but it was Tim and it was Zoe, and that was it. There's no Dragic team. Like, I just talked about sort of the three incarnations that he was with.
But I ask you this. Had he stayed healthy and Bam stayed healthy and they closed the 2020 title?
Yes. Yes.
Then that changes all this, right?
Yes.
So he has an if in his bag too.
Oh, no, he does. And I've said that. He's got two of the great what-ifs. And the Bosch thing. I mean, it's two of the great what-ifs. And I do think they could have beaten the Lakers in that series. Absolutely. And I think that nationally it would have been clowned. And it would have been a bubble championship and all the rest of this stuff. Because I think the only reason it achieved any legitimacy with the national media and fans was because the Lakers won it. It's kind of like the in-season tournament this year. If the Heat had won that thing, I don't think they would have gotten any respect for it. It would have been looked at as a Mickey Mouse championship. Some still think the Lakers won a Mickey Mouse championship. But again, it's LeBron. Okay, it was LeBron and AD, and they won another one. And so it validated it. It's like, it's self-fulfilling, right? Okay? Mm-hmm. I just think... If the Heat had won, nobody outside of Miami would have given it any credit. But in Miami, and also the context of what was going on at that time, which is that people's lives were miserable. They didn't know when they were going to be able to go outside again. They couldn't see family. They lifted us up. And we start putting out those podcasts. I'm not saying we had anything to do with this, but I'm just saying generally Heat content, the bubble run, was a great, great thing for people in South Florida. And it endeared them to Jimmy and to Bam and to Goran. And also the friendship between Goran and Jimmy and Little Face Coffee and Big Face Coffee and kind of these two guys coming, Brate and all the rest of that. Absolutely. If Goran is able to finish that thing, he achieves legendary status in Miami. It just didn't happen. But to be honest, and I'll close here, to me, it showed his character more than if he had stayed healthy the whole time and they'd won. Because that guy cared about winning a fucking championship as much or more as anybody I've covered around that organization in 25 years.
That's ever put on a uniform. You're damn right.
And what he said to Tim Reynolds on the way out that day, and Tim was covering because he was in the bubble that whole time, and Tim's tweeted about this, and what he said to Tim, tell the fans I tried. I did everything I could. And so you're absolutely right. Okay. In a lot of ways, to this fan base, he should mean that much. But ultimately, I think that if you look at the totality of their time in Miami, Timmy and Zoe put this franchise on the map.
You're right.
Goran was a great ambassador for the franchise. He was high-level entertainment. He adjusted everything. He cared. He gave everything he could to this team to the point that after he left Miami, he had nothing left. He had nothing left. Okay. Look at the four teams he played for. Look at what he produced on those four teams. That was it. He left it on the floor in Orlando, in the bubble for the Miami Heat. That is Heat culture. So I do think over time, maybe they should think about putting that jersey in the rafters. I don't think it's forefront right now. I don't. And I think some time has to pass, because I think 22 is getting up there.
And 13.
I think eventually 13 is getting up there. And eventually 6 is getting up there too. All right. I think it's going to happen. 11.
Yes.
Birdman? No, the other guy. All right. We'll talk about that more as we go forward. All right. For Greg, I'm Ethan. Happy New Year, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reason Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.